Psalms chapter 123. Psalm 123, just want to go through a few quick verses here tonight. I will give you a couple of other places that you can turn to that I'm going to touch on here just real briefly as well. And that'll be Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21. In verses 5 and 6, and I may hit Psalm chapter 40, verse 6 and 8. Not going to exegete those passages, really, just going to kind of read over it, because once I put it all together, you'll understand where I'm coming from. So I'll give you a moment to find your place there. Psalm 123, which is going to be the meat of our text. Exodus chapter 21, verses 5 and 6, and Psalm chapter 40, verse 6 to 8. Now, as we get into the message tonight, I entitled this message, Look to His Hands. Look to His Hands. As we get in there in verse 1, and we get into the text here in just a moment, we think about the hands of our Lord. And we think about what the Lord Jesus, what He's went through. We think about, really in essence, what His hands mean. You know, whenever we think about the Lord Jesus who was crucified on the cross, one of these days, we're going to see those nail-scarred hands. And those nail-scarred hands will for all eternity be a testament to us and how much He loved us and what He was willing to endure for us there on the old rugged cross. And for all eternity, we're going to be able to see and look upon the nail-scarred hands of our Savior. But I'm thankful tonight that when I think about the hands of my Savior, that I see love and mercy and grace and a whole multitude of other things that His hands resemble tonight. And as we look here in Psalm 123, here in a few verses, I want us to just kind of take a look as servants, what do? Whenever we look to His hands, I mean, because what kind of servant are we? Now, all of us here tonight ought to be servants of the Lord. Amen. Every single one of us, we're saved here tonight. We ought to be servants of God. And there's different kinds of service. Now, there are servants who serve themselves. There are servants, you know, that their whole agenda really is to really kind of promote themselves, serve themselves. The Pharisees done that. They would go out and make sure that a certain time of the day, at the time of prayer, that they was out in the markets in the busiest times of the day so that people could hear them pray and watch them pray and they can kind of promote themselves amongst the people, you know, and kind of receive the praise of men. But the Bible says, listen, in essence, really, if that's what you're doing and you got the praise and clap of men, if that's what you sought after, then that's your reward. That's what you got. Listen, I don't know about you, but that's not the kind of servant I want to be. I want to do all things to please the Father, right? That's the kind of spirit that we should have. A servant's heart that has a desire to be a pleaser of God, not a pleaser of man. Because listen, you know, a man like you one day, they like you today for what you said, what you've done, for whatever it is that you know, whatever took place. They like you today, but tomorrow they hate your guts. Amen. I mean, the very same people that appraise your name today are the very same people that will run it into dirt tomorrow. But listen, I'm thankful that I have a God in heaven that loves me. Amen. He cares about me. He loves me. And because of that, through all the... Even though I know that I'm a sinful person every single day, I serve a God who is able to forgive me of those things and still give me an opportunity to serve Him on a daily basis. And so as I think about His hands tonight... not only do we see love and grace and mercy and a whole multitude of other things, but let's take a look at these what the servant does for his master there in verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens." The very first thing I want us to notice tonight about as we look to His hands, the very first thing we see there in verse 1, of course, is the Bible says that we look up. Now, the Bible says, "Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens." Because, you see, we got to understand, first and foremost, that we're the dust of the earth. And what we're going to do is we're going to look up to the one who is full of power and majesty and grace and honor. And so we are the dust of the earth, but He is the deity of all that there is. Amen. We're the dust of the earth, but He is the God of the universe. He is the deity of all that there is. And listen, when I tell you what, when we start to recognize just how small we are and just how great He is, we're on the right path. Right? We're on the right path. When we start to recognize just how small we are, that we're just the dust of the earth, and God formed us up out of that, and then we realize just how great and mighty that He is, that we are down here and that He is way up there. But the God of the universe has a desire to have fellowship with the dust of the earth, so to speak. Amen? I tell you what, I'm thankful for that tonight. And so as we think about us as being servants, I think that's one of the very first things that we have to do. That involves our eyes. Notice He says, "Unto thee lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in
the heavens. We are the dust, He is the deity, and we lift up our eyes unto Him, we look up to Him, because we understand where we are, we see that where He's at, that He is full of glory, that He is full of power, and that we are weak, and that we need Him every hour. The Bible goes on to show us there in verse 2. The Bible says, "Behold, as the eyes of the servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hands of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that He have mercy upon us." So there in verse 2, one of the things we see, and of course coming out of verse 1, we see the very first thing that we're going to do is we're going to honor and understand who God is, and we're going to understand the position that we're at. We understand that we're the dust of the earth. We understand that He's the deity of all that there is. We understand and see His great power and His majesty, and that we are looking up to Him. Because listen, when we stop looking up and we start looking to ourselves, we are on the wrong path. We're setting ourselves up for trouble. We're setting ourselves up for failure. But whenever we, as the dust of the earth, continue to lift up our eyes unto Him and behold Him and see Him for all that He is, we're looking in the right direction. And there in verse 2, He says, "Behold, as the eyes of the servant look unto the hand of their master." Now, why would we look into the hand of the master? Now, think about this. Now, servants, when they come in, now you have an important guy or woman, whoever, they walk in, they're sitting at the table. And they're sitting at the table, and you have the servants that are there, the waiters maybe perhaps, and they're sitting there or standing there, and what they are doing is maybe they have the handkerchief over their arm, and they're standing there and they're watching, you know, as everything is, the meal's being prepared or people gathered around, they're talking. Their job is to serve their master. Their job is to serve the table that's there. And they are sitting there or standing there. What are they doing? They are just standing there waiting on the call. They're standing there waiting for the master to motion with his hand. Now, you can make a lot of hand gestures. You can say, "Come on," right? You can say, "Come here." You can say, "Come here," right? You can say, you know, there's lots of different hand gestures that we can make. And so the master is sitting there at the table. This is the idea. The master's sitting there at his table. He's sitting there. You have the servant, he's over here. And what the servant is doing is he is constantly looking at the master's hand, because he wants to know what it is exactly that the master wants him to do. The master's sitting here at the table. He looks over there to the servant. He motions his finger just like this. "Come here." What does the servant do? Boom, he's over there. Why? For what purpose? Because the master called him. He don't know why the master called him over there. He's just going over there because the master has called him there. And I think as servants of God, that's what we should be. We see in this psalm right here, he says, the servants look at the master's hand. Why is that? Because listen, when God calls, we want to make sure that we answer. And we don't know why. Listen, when the servant goes over to the servant goes over there not knowing what the master necessarily needs. Not knowing what the master necessarily wants. However, the servant is making himself available to whatever the master is going to call for, to whatever the master is going to ask for. And I think that as servants of God, that's exactly what we ought to be, as servants that are looking to the master's hand. The Bible says in verse 2, "Behold, as the eyes of the servants look into the hand of their masters." We look at the hand of the master, we look and see, "God, what is it that you want me to do? God, where do you want me to go? I'm not looking to the world, I'm not looking to him, I'm not looking to the waiter over there, I'm not looking to the waiter over there, I'm not looking to this servant over here." Because listen, as God, listen, we're not racing against each other, right? In this Christian race, we're not racing against each other. No, see, I'm not looking at him. You know what's going to happen? You know, if I spend all my time trying to look at somebody else and how they're living their life, listen, we got to understand that people are imperfect. Yeah, how many of you know that you're imperfect here tonight? Listen, we do. Listen, there ain't nothing wrong with looking up to people and saying, "Man, that's a great woman of the Lord. That's a great man of God." And you know, and you look at them and you follow them, and man, they are great. But understand, they're just people, and they're sinful people. And if we spend all of our time trying to follow in their steps and do everything that they do and do it just like they do, understand, God didn't call us to be like that servant. God didn't call us to be like that servant. God didn't call us to be like this servant, but God did call us all to look at His hands, because there's something that He wants every single one of us to do. He wants this servant to do this. He wants this servant to do this. He wants this servant to do that. And God wants all of us to serve Him in different ways, but whenever He calls and whenever He motions, are we going to take a step? Are we going to move? Are we willing to take this step in the direction to see what it is that God wants us to do? Because I tell you what, when the master is sitting there at the table and he calls for and he motions for the servant to come here, and the servant's standing there, and he is his job is to be at the master's call. Whenever it is that he wants something, he moves forward and he goes. And as servants, when the Lord calls or when God directs, if we just stand here and we don't move, then we're never going to know. We're never going to know what it is that God wanted us to do. We're never going to, I've heard people say all the time, man, I just want to know what God's will is for my life. I just want to know what I'm supposed to do. I want to know this, I want to know this, I want to know that. You know, I think the Lord oftentimes is sitting up in heaven saying, listen, I'm trying to get you to come here, but you just won't come. Amen. I'm trying to get you to come over here so I can speak to you. I'm trying to get you to come here so I can talk to you so that you will know these things that you desire to know in your heart and life. However, every time I call for you, every time I motion for you, you just stand there. So what kind of servant are we? Are we going to be one of those servants that says, you know what, I'm going to be mindful of the master's hand, and whenever I see him motion, I'm going to move forward. I'm going to move forward. When I see him motion, I'm going to move. Not knowing what God is asking for. Not knowing the direction that he wants us to go. But because I just want to do all things that please the Father, just because I just want to be obedient to him, I'm going to move just to see what it is that he wants to say. The Bible shows this right here in verse 2. He says, behold, the eyes of the servants look into the hand of their masters. And because you know what's in the hand of the master? The hand of the master is guidance and direction. But we also see, and the hand of the master is going to be strength. Because there's power in that hand. There's power in that hand. The master is the master for a reason. And there is power in that hand. There is authority in that hand. There is position in that hand. And so we look to the hand because it represents strength. It represents strength. But not only does it represent strength, but notice the Bible says, behold, as the eyes of the servant look into the hand of the masters, the Bible says, and as the servants of a maiden, the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord, our God, until that he have mercy upon us. We look up to him and we see his hands, we see strength, we see power, we find peace, we find comfort, we find guidance, we find direction, we find all of these hands. We find all of these things in the hands of our master. And there's a lot of people today that say, you know what, I'm looking for peace. I'm looking for comfort. I'm looking for guidance. I'm looking for strength. I'm looking for all of these things. And the Lord's trying to call us over here to him. He's looking down from heaven saying, hey, here I am. Would you look up here at me? But we're too busy looking at the world. We're too busy looking at ourselves. Too busy looking at everybody else. Too busy looking at his hand and her hand and their hand. We're so busy looking around at everything else. And the devil's got us so distracted on all this other stuff that we're not looking towards God. We're not listening towards God. And therefore, we don't have all these things that we're looking for. And the Bible shows us here that we need to be looking towards his hands. Behold, as the eyes of the servants look into the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hands of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. Let's go over to Psalm chapter 40 and take a look at verses 6 to 8. Psalm chapter 40, take a look at verses 6 to 8. Notice what the Bible says here. The Bible says, and this goes along with the book of Exodus that we're going to look at here in just a second. In Psalm chapter 40, in verses 6 to 8, the psalmist says, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears thou hast opened, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. And of course, that's the scriptures you got right here in your hand. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, the law is within my what? My heart. The law is within my heart. Listen, when God's law is within your heart, when you desire to do nothing but please God, you're always watchful and you're always looking up and you're always watchful to the master's hand. What is it that the Lord wants me to do? Where is it that the Lord wants me to go? What is it that God is calling upon me in my life? The will of God that he wants me to know about? The Bible shows us there in verses 6 to 8. The sacrifice and offering didst not desire, mine ears thou hast opened. That's what I want you to take a look at. Mine ears thou hast opened. Hold your place there. Go to Exodus chapter 21. And you take a look in verses 5 and 6. And back in the Old Testament, here in these times, we see folks who were bond servants for different reasons, some owed debts and different kinds of things. And some people were bond servants for years until they were able to pay off debt or for whatever other reason that they may have gotten themselves or be in that position. And the Bible says here, when it's talking about the treatment of these folks, notice the Bible says there in verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, if the servant shall plainly say, what's the next four words? I love my master. So if the servant says, I love my master. Now, as I said, there are some servants that serve themselves. Their desire is to self-publicate. Their desire is to just put themselves out there because they want people to serve them. They want to publicate themselves. However, and then there are some servants that they're only going to serve for a certain amount of time, and then they're done. I put in my time, right? There are some servants that are going to say, well, I've put in my time and now I'm done. I put in my time and now I'm done. But listen, if God saved you, you ain't never done. If God saved you, you ain't never done. Listen, we're going to serve Him down here, and when we get to heaven, we're going to serve Him for all eternity. So our service is never done. It is never complete. We'll serve Him as much as we can and as long as we can with the ability that God has given us in this physical body on this earth as much as we possibly can. And then when we die and we get to heaven, we're going to serve Him for all eternity up there as well. So our service to God is never done. However, there are some servants that self-publicate. They want to just magnify themselves. And there are others that will say, well, I'm going to serve, but I'm only going to serve for a certain amount of time. But here we see, the Bible says, if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. You say, what's the idea? The idea is this. The idea is this, is that you see a man who is a bondservant, and because the bondservant loves his master, then what he does is he says, you know what? I don't want to go out free. I don't want to go out on my own. I don't want to be away from my wife. Listen, I love where I'm at. I don't want to go anywhere. I like serving my master. I love serving my master. There's no other place I would rather be than to be right here serving my master. And when the servant says that in his heart, and he has no desire to be free, what's he in essence doing? I guess in our way of thinking, we would say, not only is he taking up his cross and he's dying daily, but I would say he's dying daily to his self-ambition. He's dying daily to himself, to whatever it is that he desires to do in my life, and he's fully giving himself over to whatever it is that God desires for him in his life. Fully giving himself over to his master. So what does the master do? Master says, oh, okay, so he loves me this much. He doesn't want to go anywhere. So what I'm going to do is we're going to take him, and we're going to bring him to the judges. And he's going to stand before everybody. He's going to say, you know what? I love my master, and I don't want to go anywhere. I want to stay right here. So then he takes the servant, takes him over to the doorpost, puts him up at the doorpost, takes an awl. Let's think of it as a drill bit. They didn't have DeWalt back then. Puts the servant up against the doorpost, takes an awl, puts it right there at his ear, screws a hole right through his ear, right through the lobe of his ear, screws a hole right through it. From that point on, every time everybody sees it, everybody understands and recognizes this guy was happy where he was at. He loved his master. He gave up his whole life to serve his master. Doesn't desire to go anywhere. He wants to serve his master all the days of his life. Now, we got fresh awls back here in the back, and so when we all leave tonight, and I got a DeWalt back there, just be real quick and we all leave. I'm just kidding. But I'm just telling you, Just telling you, these folks right here, they had such a desire to serve God. So in Psalm 40, when he gets to the place where he says, you know, I love thy law, when he says, sacrifice and offering thou didst not require. It kind of goes back to this. We can give our sacrifices, we can give our offerings, but we can do that with the wrong heart. Amen? We can do it with the wrong heart. We can do it just so everybody can see us. I mean, what did the Lord Jesus, when he was sitting by the offering plate, you know, and everybody was coming by and throwing their stuff, you know, putting their stuff in, some would come by and lay it in, some threw it from a distance so everybody could hear the clinging, clanging. Yeah. Some people give because they just give things to God and they offer things to God out of the wrong motive and out of the wrong heart to self-publicate themselves, make themselves look good. And some, well, I'm just in it for a short term and then I'm gone. I'm going to do what I want to do. And some are in it for the long haul. And they're like, you know what, God, I'm giving you everything that I got. I'm giving you every breath that I have. I'm giving you every minute of my life. And it is these folks, it is those that say, you know what, I'm willing to submit myself to God and give myself to Him, and I don't care who knows about it. We'll go down to the judges. Man, I'll tell everybody that's down there, I want to serve my master, and I don't want to go nowhere. I love Him, and I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to seek nobody else. I don't want to go nowhere else. I want to stay right here, and I just want to be a servant of His for the rest of my life. Listen, as God's people, that's the same kind of attitude as servants that we should have. And so when you get to Psalm 40, and he says, thou hast opened my ear. Opened my ear. It brings you back to this verse right here where the psalmist is saying, God, I can give you offerings and I can give you sacrifices, but what you really want, what you really desire, is for someone to give you what they have on the inside. I can give them an offering, I can give them a sacrifice, but all those things are external. And not that I shouldn't honor God with those things, because I should. But what God really desires and really wants, more than our money and more than all that kind of stuff, because it all belongs to Him anyway. Amen? I mean, what do we really give? We're just giving back to Him what He already owns. He's just giving us the opportunity to be a steward of that. What He really wants and desires is what you got right inside here. Your heart, your life, your ambition, all those things to be sacrificed to Him, to follow Him with all that you have. So Lord, I want you to open up my ears tonight. God, I want you to open up my ears. God, I want to be that person that has that desire to serve you. I want to be that person that has that desire to call out to you and to be what you want me to be. And there in the text, he says in verse 6, then his master shall bring him unto the judges, and he shall bring him to the door, unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him for a little while. He shall serve him towards the end of the month. He shall serve him for 3 years. No, the Bible says he shall serve him forever. Forever. What is it that God desires tonight? He desires the servant's heart. He desires that which on the inside that he wants us to give to him. Psalm chapter 40 and verses 6 to 8. The Bible says, sacrifice offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears thou hast opened, burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. God wants us to offer him that which is the most important part of our life, which is us. And his psalmist is saying, God, I'm giving you myself. I'm giving you everything that I have. I'm not just going to give you that which is on the outside, Lord. I'm not just going to give you that which you've told me that I ought to give. But God, I'm going to give you so much more than that. I'm going to give you myself. I'm going to give you my ambition. I'm going to give you my desires. I'm going to give you my life. God, I'm going to take up my cross daily and I'm going to follow you. And whatever it is that you want me to do, God, that's what I'm willing to do because you're my servant. And Lord, every time you motion, I'm going to be standing there and I'm going to be ready to answer. I'm going to be ready to walk over there and just listen to whatever it is that you need to tell me. Because listen, you got to think about this. Sometimes the master just don't motion for the servant to come over because he wants the servant to do something. Sometimes he just may want to tell the servant something. I imagine how many times we've missed out on what it is that God just wants us to know whenever he was trying to speak to us. And because we were so busy looking everywhere else and not busy enough looking at him, we missed out on that which he wanted to speak to us about. The Bible shows us right here in our text. We'll finish it and go home for tonight. Behold, as the eyes of the servant look unto the hand of their master, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. So as we finish tonight, I just ask you this question. You ask it yourself, where am I looking? Where am I looking? What am I looking at? And when he calls me, am I going to answer? Am I going to allow God tonight to, in essence, spiritually speaking, bore that hole through my ear? Am I going to give him myself? Am I willing to say, Master, Lord, I'm ready to serve you all the days of my life, and whichever it is that you've called me to do? Something to think about. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you tonight, and we thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, we ask God tonight that you just help us as we get ready to leave and we go our separate ways. God, that you would just continue to bless our night. And Lord, that you'd keep us safe as we go home. And God, all of us pray here this evening, no matter what we do in our service to you, that God, that we just all just try to do that which is pleasing to you. Lord, I don't believe in my heart that nobody here has a desire to promote themselves, and I don't believe that nobody here tonight has a desire to just serve you for a little while, but God, all of us here are saved and we have a desire to serve you for as long as that needs to be, and of course that is forever. And Lord, I pray here this evening that you would just help us God to serve you. Help us God to be watchful, help us God to be listening, help us Lord to every day be ready to answer, to move forward, to take that step as we look towards you. Lord, I pray that you give us a good week this week. Lord, I pray that you'd help us all to be a good witness and to be a light out in this dark world. And Lord, that it could be that this week that you open up a door of opportunity for us to be able to talk to someone about you, whether it's about salvation or it could be some other area in their life that you have equipped us with the knowledge and ability to be able to share your word with them. And Lord, we just pray that you give us all opportunities this week. I ask God tonight that you would just bless our week, that you would keep us all safe. And then God, you bring us back to our next appointed time on Wednesday night. And this we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.